folks, you're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. According to William Jefferson, who's the most dangerous radio host in America? He should know. With William Jefferson, Clinton had dismantled our military forces and our defense establishment that would have ensured that what happened yesterday could not have happened. It took NORAD, the North American Air Defense Command, and made it the South American and Central American detection system for planes supposedly running drugs, which ultimately resulted in us shooting down a couple of missionaries. How about that? Well, I've got lots to talk about with you tonight, and I think you're going to want to hear it. Don't go away. Yes, last night I went and did a little research, and I was watching a lot of the other channels that I didn't get a chance to look at yesterday. And it seems the C-SPAN 2 only had a perspective from quite a ways away. So everything that I was looking at on C-SPAN 2 was from a long way away. And what I saw was what I saw, and what some of you saw actually happened also. So we're going to talk about those things. It is unfortunate, and I mean extremely unfortunate, that something has happened in this country that makes people so cold, so completely emotionally bankrupt, that everything, this is what I've noticed, everything that I see on television, everything that I hear on radio, is cold. It's as if it's business as usual. Larry King Ryan, business as usual. No emotional feelings whatsoever. You couldn't tell if Larry King was talking about an incident that killed over 10,000 people, or he was just taking a stroll along Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco looking for a shrimp cocktail. And you can't tell that anymore. Chris Matthews? Same old Chris Matthews! Same old Brian Williams. Same old. There is no feeling. There's no feeling. There are no feelings involved with any of these people. I, on the other hand, am just absolutely crushed. When I had to send my family out of the country to protect them from persecution from the Gestapo, I thought I was a pretty tough cookie, I gotta tell you. I thought I could withstand it. I thought I was, I knew I was doing the right thing. The right thing for me to do as a husband and a father is to protect my wife and children. Regardless of what it's done to me. That's my duty as a husband and a father. And so when they issued warrants for me and for Annie, I sent them out of the country. I had no idea what that was going to do to me. It almost killed me. I was crushed. It was as if someone had fired a cannonball right through the center of my chest. And I was empty for months. Listless. Directionless. Not knowing
at all
what to do. Children were not dead. I just simply sent them out of the country. All away from me. And I was crushed, destroyed. Literally. Literally. Without a purpose. And I just didn't care anymore.
For a long time.
Many of you were with me during that period of time, and you know
what I went through.
Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine well over 10,000 people who didn't send their spouses or their children out of the country? They just never came home again. They were murdered. Murdered. Murdered, killed, died. After having gone to work in one of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center buildings, or had gone to deliver something or pick something up or conduct some kind of business in that building, or were tourists in New York City, and that's one of the big places where tourists go, including lots of Boy Scout troops, Girl Scout troops, school field trips, entire families on vacation, are now dead. My heart goes out to these people. I'm telling you, I feel so much empathy and so much of a connection with them. I feel so sorry that this had to happen. I feel so bad about it. It's as if all of a sudden I can feel all of the same pain and heartache and heartbreak and longing and yearning and missing my children and my wife when I had to send them out of the country. I'm feeling that all over again. It's like I'm starting to repair that great emptiness in my chest. Finally was beginning to heal itself and mend back together, and now all of a sudden it's as if that's all gone. Yes. And I watch all of these people on television, and they don't have any sense of that. They don't feel they're not connected to this disaster. Like they're watching another Hollywood movie. Listen to Rush Limbaugh today, and guess what? It's Rush as usual. Tune in Larry King tonight, right before the broadcast. Larry King as usual. It's as if nothing out of the ordinary has happened. It's like they're all talking about Gary Condit. How is it that so few of us are really connected to the terrible loss of human life and the unbelievable impact it's going to have upon so many? thousands and thousands and thousands of families. And you can multiply those many, 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 many thousands of families by thousands and thousands more acquaintances, relatives, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, entire corporations have disappeared. Disappeared. And when I turn, and it doesn't matter which channel I turn to, or which satellite transponder I turn to, or which news network, or which cable channel, nobody is feeling what I'm feeling. Nobody is expressing any emotion whatsoever. It's like they're all a bunch of robot zombies doing what they were created to do rather than people who have feelings and emotions and are connected to their fellow man. I don't see anyone connected to any body. And beyond everything else that's happened, above all considerations that I can imagine, that worries me and bothers me more than anything else. That has to do with the tragedy that occurred yesterday. I cannot imagine the future. If we are so disconnected with our fellow humanity, that we feel nothing, that we show nothing, that we are so in control of our emotions that not one single teardrop escapes from the corner of the eye of anyone reporting on any of this in government, in the news, on cable, in the newspaper, anywhere. It's as if nobody has a heart. It's as if no one has any emotion. Empathy is a word that is not understood. Sympathy is beyond capacity except as a symbolic gesture at the beginning of every sentence. Well, first of all, I'd like to say how sorry I am for all of those who are suffering because of this disaster. And then they go on as if there was no disaster, about their business and talking about whatever it is their damn job is. We're in big trouble if that's the condition of humanity in this country. Nobody feels anything. Nobody is connected to what really happened. Maybe this is a reaction that I don't understand, and maybe somewhere down the line someone on the major news reports will start talking about something and then all of a sudden a few tears will begin to flow, but I don't think so. I think we are products of television and Hollywood. I think we have seen so much death and destruction and explosions and loss of life and blood and maimed bodies and dismembered bodies and blown apart bodies and in absolute mayhem and chaos on television and in the movies all the time that it doesn't mean anything anymore except to those of us who do not participate in those television programs and in those kinds of movies. I think we are watching the manifestation of the truth of the condition of our nation. Heartless. No emotion. No feeling. Oh yes, everyone responds because they're expected to respond
because
that's what society demands, but they don't really
care. They don't
really feel. It is not connected to them. One of the things that shocked me was the tremendous amount of email I got from people who said, even though this was going on, everybody in their community was going about their regular daily business, going shopping, doing this, doing that. It didn't matter to them. It was like they went to a movie, they saw what happened in the movie was out, now they're going to Walmart. Hollywood is responsible for that. Television is responsible for that. It is criminal what they have done to the people in this country and what the people have allowed to be done to them. And what they have done to themselves willingly by participating in this massive desensitization of the nation. And don't tell me you don't know anything about it.
You're all actively
involved, most of you. Some of you are like me, you don't participate. You don't watch those movies, you don't watch television unless there's something necessary for you to watch because of what you're involved in. But most of you are guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. You feel nothing. There's nothing in you to feel. You've seen it all, you've experienced it all, you don't care. You could walk out in your front yard and stumble across the dead body of one of your family members and you would stare down at them and say, "My God, he's dead. Well, I guess I should call the police and then I should try to muster up some tears so that people won't think that there's something wrong with me." But in fact, I don't really feel anything. I mean, I've seen it all before. And aside from the fact I'm going to miss him or her, you know, I'm probably going to see it again tomorrow night on television. And heaven forbid if somebody
report in here for me?
No, because I'll tell you what you would do. Uh-oh. I'm not having anything to do with this, man. I'm going back in and lock my door, and nobody's ever going to know that I was even out here. I'm not even calling anybody. I don't know this fool. Right? Sounds familiar. Any of you? Under something. You want to watch the death of a nation? You want to know why everything is so screwed up and wrong? Nobody cares. Nobody feels anything. There's no emotion. Everybody's seen it all before. It doesn't connect. Nobody cares. Oh, yeah, I saw those planes smash into those buildings, and I know there's lots of people in there, but nothing I could do. Huh? Right, man. Hey. Yeah. Right. But I'm American. I really care about my country. Boom! Boom! How do you care about your country? You don't care about your countrymen. You don't care about much of anything unless you can make a fuck from it, and that's the sorry-ass truth.
I was going to say you sound upset.
Hey, why are you asking me how I am? Well, what do you mean I sound upset? I told you I am absolutely upset.
I thought I'd ease into the topic and see if I could tell you why I am upset.
Well, you're not upset.
Not at all.
Really, why?
I view this strike as a strike into the heart of the very people who brought about this system that has oppressed us and people all over the world, and I do not view them as Americans or anyone that I would have any sympathy with.
Oh, really? All those people who worked in the World Trade Center buildings are the people who have oppressed us and brought about all this stuff instead of being just like you and me. You're full of crap. You're a lying hypocrite, and I read
you a liar.
You're a liar. You lied about those people. They had nothing to do with bringing about any of this. They had nothing to do with oppressing anyone. They were people who had jobs, who went to work that morning in a building. You dumb jerk. You pompous ass. Who the hell do you think you are? To condemn those people just because they were at their desk doing their job, trying to make a living like everybody else. And you, you have no feeling for them whatsoever because this strike was at those who are oppressing us and who have brought about all this stuff upon themselves. You lying hypocrite. Incredibly unfeeling, stupid jerk. I have no connection to you whatsoever. Period. Never will. You are one of the people that make the world as terrible and as bad as it is. Your attitude is exactly the same as those people who hijacked those airplanes and dove them into those buildings and murdered well over 10,000 people and injured, maimed thousands more. You are one of them. That's their mentality. That's you. You are a sick, deranged, terrible, unbelievably sad, unfeeling, uncaring, hateful worm. In fact, I'll go further than that. You are whale feces. And that's the lowest thing on this earth. And was found at the deepest, bottomless depths of the deepest canyons of the deepest depths of the ocean. You worthless piece of scum. How dare you?
Well, you have no feelings for those people because
they were a part of the oppression exerted upon all Americans, and therefore they deserve to die because, oh, geez, you make me so sick.
Where in the world do people like you come from?
I want to know the name of the rock from under which you crawl. On second thought, I don't want to know the name of the rock because I would have to go there and blow that whole damn rock and every one of you under it all to hell. That would be my mission. Therefore, I don't even want to know the name of that rock or where that rock is. God, you make me sick. Oh, you make me so sick, I guess. Oh, you thought I was pissed off in the beginning of this broadcast? You can't imagine the anger after hearing from a worthless piece of crap like you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Tim. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
What do you want me to say?
I've been trying to call for about 2 minutes since you got off the phone, and every time it seems like it goes through, and then it's a busy signal.
That's because I had something to say.
Oh, okay. Something hit me when you said your relative would come out and find you laying in the yard and not think anything of it. Well, I think they would think something of it. They'd go in the house and look for your will to see how much damn money you're leaving them.
Well, that's probably right.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and these people are doing their exact job. The reason they have no feeling is because they're all CFR members, and they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're doing a very good job of it.
Well, they're not all CFR members. Most of them aren't.
Well, I know...
Some of them are. Most of them aren't.
They're willing socialist little government installed and...
Yeah, but there's still people. Where's their feeling? How do people get totally separated from any kind of emotion or feelings whatsoever?
I don't know, Bill. I wait...
Did you hear that last night, Carl?
Yes, I did.
What do you think about that? Can you believe what he said? That made me so angry. I am seething.
I know. Me too. I shake when I get mad like this.
Over 10,000 innocent people who all they did was get a job in that building. They weren't participating in tyranny over anybody. They were just trying to make a living in that building. And that building had a whole bunch of different businesses, none of which were involved in screwing anybody.
As far as I know. About a half an hour ago, I was just sitting here on the couch with my two boys, my two dogs. And I was looking at my dogs thinking, my God, I wonder how many of those people didn't make it home and the animals are stuck at home by themselves. You know, they're not only people, they have families, they have children, they have animals.
I wonder how many children came home who had both parents working in those buildings, who came home and waited for their parents to come home, who never, ever came home.
I have wept many times today over the whole deal, Bill, and it's sickening. And I just...
But you see, it's beyond me because I'm the kind of guy that if anything happened to Crusher... I would be totally I would cry.
Oh,
in front of anybody.
Hello.
And I would pick him up and hold him and love him and let him know that I really cared about losing him. And I would hold a funeral for him.
Yeah.
And I would bury him and put a marker there so I could go back every once in a while and talk to him. Or at least talk to myself. At least try and make myself feel better about it.
I'm the same way, you know. I've sent you pictures of my boys right up on the top.
Yeah, you have.
But these people feel nothing. That guy that called before, he has no heart, no soul. He feels nothing. He is empty inside, beyond the emptiness that all of us felt, that I thought was so crushing and so terrible. You know, I discovered that what I was feeling was feelings of such magnitude that I couldn't even handle it. And these people have no feelings at all.
I think that's, like I said a minute ago, the other side is doing their job very well. That's why nobody cares about a republic.
They don't care about any... You know, it finally hit home to me. I could never understand before, but now I do.
Yep.
Why am I expecting them to care about their country when they don't care about anything?
Yeah.
Anything.
I just went around the bend with my son-in-law. He walks around with his head stuck up his butt. It's just like, you know, oh well, naughty dog, you know. But tomorrow's another day, and I'll go do my job, and I'll come home and I'll drink my beer. I don't know. I understand why you lose your temper like you do with people, Bill. I really do. I understand, and I'm to the point where it's like, don't even come up here if you're not going to pull your head out of your ass. You know,
you sound like me now. That's my attitude, exactly. Because I can't stand it. I can't go to normal social functions. If somebody invites me to a cocktail party, and a lot of people do, I cannot go because I'll get there and somebody will come up and say, oh, I'm Susie Kitchens and I went to Harvard. What school did you go to? And I just want to pull my head off and stick it up, you know what? You know, as if any of that means anything.
Oh, Bill. Thank you for your service, Bill Cooper.
You're welcome.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
You sort of cooled me off a little bit, and I think I needed it. Otherwise, the rest of this broadcast would have been totally useless. Good evening.
Down the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Don't ask me. Don't anybody
ask me.
Through my research last night and what I've been doing today, but I know that they knew that this was going to happen. And I want to tell you something else. The plane that crashed in Pennsylvania absolutely was shot down.
Oh, yeah.
It was shot down.
But why do you think it was shot down?
It was shot down because...
in Washington?
Because that was the one that was supposed to go into the White House, but they didn't want that down.
I think you're right. And the pilots and the people on board had gotten word by then that they, even on the news, they're saying the men on the plane had agreed to let's take these guys out.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're trying to say. It's bullshit. It's a lie.
If I was
now, I'm not trying to demean the passengers on that plane. I'm not trying to say that they weren't heroes. I'm not trying to say that maybe they didn't try to do something to stop the hijackers. But I'm telling you right now, I know for a fact that plane was shot down.
Wow. I grew up in Maine my whole life, 38 years old now, and I've never seen customs on the interstate in the back roads like I've seen in the last 2 weeks.
Well, they, you know, the cameras, they didn't want to stop these people because they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
They knew it was going to happen.
Well, what it's done is like you've been saying all along. It's going to take away our liberty. It's going to give them the freedom to go into your house, whatever they want to do. Well, we suspected that. But we suspected that.
Well, they're
bullshit.
They're already telling you that. All of the news. Every news
broadcast.
I live
in Manchester, New Hampshire right now. And 10 years ago, in 86 when I came down here, the streets were booming. There was every type of ethnic thing on the streets now, and now I live down here, and you walk down the street, get a six-pack of beer, and you don't see anybody The people are afraid to sit on their front doorstep because the law enforcement growth industry is in such power and it is so far along now that you can't stop the ball rolling.
Yes.
You are worth more sitting in prison.
That's right.
Than you are making $10.
That's right, because if you're in prison, you are slave labor and you're creating jobs for the prison industry. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bill.
5-0-3-3-4-5-7-8. And as far as how the building collapsed, finally I was able to see some close-ups of the collapse of the two buildings. I don't know which one it is, but one of them absolutely definitely started collapsing from the place where the plane crashed into the building on the floors, pancaked down one upon another, all the way down to the bottom. The other one, however, started collapsing from the top, but before the top actually reached the point where the plane had crashed into the building, it started collapsing down upon the bottom of the building, and the floors were not pancaking one on top of another. So what was happening last night is I was watching C-SPAN 2, which only showed back from a distance, and what I saw was what appeared to me the buildings collapsing from the bottom. And some of you people were watching some of the close-up shots on other channels and could actually see the building that pancaked floor upon floor upon floor all the way down to the bottom. And some of you saw, many of you saw, as a matter of fact, from the email I got, what happened to the other building was that, and that's the one with the antenna on top, it started to collapse from the top floor upon floor, but before it reached the point where the airplane had crashed into the building, the whole building started going down, and it wasn't floor upon floor upon floor. It was collapsing upon itself from the bottom. One of them did collapse floor upon floor, just collapse downward like an accordion, and the other one did exactly the opposite. 520-333-4578 is the number.
Bill.
Good evening.
I want to give you a little different perspective. I spent the entire day pulling body bags out of that building. Out of the South Tower.
Pulling body bags out?
Yes, sir.
Our bodies?
Body bags.
Let's see, somebody else had already put them in the body bags.
That's correct.
Okay.
I was crawling around through the rubble, and I spent the whole day in the city, in that rubble, and I have to tell you a different side of New York and the people that you don't see on the news. There was a time I had to take a break, and then when I returned over by the water, and there were people in their private boats that were bringing soda and ice and clothing and homemade sandwiches. One boat would pull up and offload their stuff. The next boat would pull up. People were just giving out everything from socks and clean underwear.
Let me ask you this. Were they doing it because to do it made them a good guy, or did they have tears in their eyes?
There were tears in their eyes.
Okay.
There, believe it. And there were, I can't tell you how many people when I was leaving, people came up to me and thanked me with tears in their eyes and hugged me.
That's great.
And I was there as a volunteer. I was not getting paid for that.
My bitch is with the television and with the radio. That's what I was talking about. They have, they're not showing any emotion. They're interviewing people that don't show any emotion. They had one lady whose husband was on one of the planes and who had called her from the plane who was smiling during the interview like this was the greatest thing that ever happened in her life. Screw the loss of her husband. She was really proud to be on television.
Now, in the outer boroughs, there are a lot of people walking around as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the outpouring, the emotion, it is there. I haven't shed a tear yet, but I will. I spent 10 years as a paramedic. I'm no longer a paramedic.
But because of that experience of so many years working in the South Bronx, it's going to take a little while for it to seep in. I'm so accustomed to seeing, carnage, shall we say.
Yeah, but not on that level.
But as a defense mechanism, when you deal with that kind of thing on a daily basis, you wind up blocking it out.
Oh, I understand that. We did that in Vietnam. Everybody who served in Vietnam made sure that they didn't get too close to anybody else they served with, and we got used to seeing dead bodies and stuff, and we held it inside of us, and that's what created post-traumatic delayed stress syndrome. It came back to us years later, and then one night, for no reason at all, we would be watching a fireworks display that would bring back the war to us, and we would just collapse in tears. And you know, even now I can't go to the wall. I can't even get anywhere near it without breaking down and blubbering like a baby.
I just thought you might like to hear that the outpouring that I saw today was just unbelievable. For the most part, the people care. They were crying.
I think the people that are close to it and are right there, I think you're right. But I think the nation as a whole, I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that at all. I'm seeing people going on about their business. I'm seeing symbolism. I'm seeing people say, we're going to cancel a baseball game because all these people were killed. But I don't see any tears in their eyes. I don't see any emotion. I don't see any connection. All I see is a symbol. We're going to do this so people won't think we're not good people if we go ahead and play the ball game. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, New York only has one TV channel going now because all the rest of the transmitters were on top of the North Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have CBS, the only one that's broadcasting.
Yeah, you know what? They made a big deal about the fact that all New Yorkers were watching Dan Rather and they weren't watching anybody else. They didn't tell in the story. They built up Dan Rather, and they made it look like all the workers chose to watch Dan Rather. And somehow it made him out to be the number one news broadcaster. They didn't tell anyone that New Yorkers didn't have any choice. There was nobody else to watch.
And I'm sure there are people that are upset that the baseball games aren't going to be scheduled because it's becoming old news.
You could bet on that. Las Vegas is crushed. Absolutely crushed.
I'm going to let somebody else get in here, but I just thought you really should know that
that
it's not the way you see it on TV. Let me tell you.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but I don't believe that. I think that people who are close to what happened, like this, or close to it, and people that care like me and like you are doing things, and that's what you're seeing, and anybody who's right there amongst it, seeing the carnage and the dead bodies, has to be affected. But I don't think the rest of the nation is affected like you think they are. I don't see that. I don't feel it. I don't see it in this valley here. I don't see it amongst my neighbors. They're going around like nothing has happened at all.
Well, the people in the outer boroughs only get the information that they see on TV. And
What more information does anybody need than two towers within which 55,000 people work, and each day over 11,000 tourists at one time or another. And in addition to that, there's delivery people. There's people going there for appointments, for business, to meet somebody, to go to lunch, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what more do they need to know than a good percentage of these people are now dead?
Well, it's sad to say, you're probably right.
And don't feel like believe me, I'm not picking on you. I love you for what you've called in and told us. I feel very connected to you right now. But if you think the whole nation feels the way that you and I do, I think you're very mistaken.
Well, I didn't called, for that reason, I called basically to cheer you up and let you realize there is ray of hope.
Well,
there is some caring out here.
It's not going to cheer me up until I see this nation starting to come together, feeling, getting in touch, being people, and restoring constitutional Republican government. I don't see that anywhere. I don't see it.
We'll just have to pray and keep up the fight.
Yep.
God bless them.
Thanks for calling. No, I don't see it. Sorry, folks, but I don't see it.
Good evening.
You're on the air.
Bill, this unfeeling that you're perceiving, it seems to me that in my experience, and I've been seeing it all over my town today, the people that are like this are in total rebellion against God, and in this rebellion, they give up their eternal soul, and they lose their ability to have empathy, and it becomes amoral. It's degenerate in all their ways, and I see this with people who I'm acquainted with all over.
Well, I'll agree with you, Hunting. What I'm seeing is people that seem to me exactly as you said, as if they don't.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that matters to them. That's the only time they can feel anything. So they seek that out as much as they can possibly experience it, because it's the only time they can ever confirm that they're probably alive.
That's very interesting that you bring that up, because most of the people that are like this are sexual addicts that I know.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with sex or an orgasm or anything in the proper context. But these people, it's like that's what makes them alive, and without it, they're not.
Yeah.
They feel anything.
You know what's really terrible is that the tremendous rate of attrition and divorce that goes on in this country is because these people are programmed like this, and they live their lives this way. And when two people, I've known this a thousand times, I've seen it, where two people get married, and invariably, when you're talking to them during the wedding and they have a few drinks in them, they don't have any trust in each other.
No.
Because they know.
And they knew each other for a couple of months.
Oh, no, a lot of these people have known each other for a year or more before they got married.
Well, that's kind of strange, because most people...
But they do not have any instinctual trust of the other person.
Yes. But most people today, they get married after just knowing each other, meeting each other and knowing each other 2 or 3 months. That's about the norm. Truthfully.
Yeah, well, I think you said that one time. You know, an emotion has a zero IQ.
You're right. You're absolutely correct.
It's a sad day.
It is. And we're out of time. I'm sorry about that. I'd like to get some more people in here and talk about this, because I think it's an important subject.
I'd like to hear what other people feel about it or think about it.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time.
Maybe we'll take this topic up again tomorrow. In fact, I think we will. I think there's a lot of people out there who like to say something about what we've been talking about tonight.
I'm just crushed over this.
I really am. It's like I was starting to mend myself, starting to just get back into some kind, I even started to clean parts of the house, and do some things that I couldn't do before. And now I'm just stuck by this again. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Pornelison. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know I miss you. I love you. How much your absence has absolutely devastated me. I miss you. I want so much to be with you.
Folks, you're listening once again to the